And welcome back to another edition of the Always Pressing PGA DFS pod. You can find us on Twitter at Always Press DFS. The three amigos are back tonight. I'm Bubby. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick. You got Jesse at DFS Golf Gods. How are we doing tonight?
Doing well.
Good, good. And our other big guy, Bucks. You can find him on Twitter at BPSnow11. Bucks, how are we doing?
Doing great. Doing really well, man.
Good. Good to hear. Let's just get right at it. The PGA Championship, the fourth major, ended with a little more entertainment than I expected coming into this Sunday. We knew it would be close, but some guys coming out of nowhere. Justin Thomas taking down his first major. Pretty good stuff there. That birdie putt was insane, letting the wind blow that bad boy in. But we'll start with you, Jesse. What were your overall thoughts on JT picking up his first major?
I don't know. I'm a fan of Justin Thomas, so it was fun to watch as far as that goes. The overall tournament, I thought, was of the year. We kind of knew going into it that it was going to play tough, and it did play tough, unlike the U.S. Open, where we thought it was going to play tough, and it didn't play tough. So it's fun to watch these guys go out there and do a little bit of struggling and not be able to just do – whatever they want, hit every shot that they want, and make every single putt that they hit. So overall, I was really, really, really pleased with the tournament and the way it turned out, and very happy for Justin Thomas. You know, that was really fun to watch him pull that out.
Yeah, Bucks, what were your thoughts on JT taking it down?
I thought it was awesome. He, much like Jesse, I'm a big fan of Justin. A lot of those young guys, Justin, Ricky, Smiley, Jordan, it's fun to watch those guys. They have a good time on the golf course, and it was nice to kind of see him kind of get in the zone. And so he balled out on that back nine. Obviously, Matsuyama struggled a little bit, but it was awesome to see some of the shots he was hitting. Fearless with the driver, which was awesome. And then you guys know the stats for the week, but he was on fire with his putter, so it was really cool.
Yeah, it was really awesome. We'll get into some stats here in a minute on how the pod did, but you mentioned those stats of his. And just real quick, overall on the season, people think JT's going bad. First in eagles, first in top tens, first in driving. The list goes on. The guy has been outstanding, and he finally put it all together on a Sunday, which was great to see. And I know, Bucks, you're on the same page Jesse and I are on. We've talked forever about the young studs in this thing, and so it's great to see a guy like Justin get his. And you get to see all the guys like Ricky, and they're all buddies, and you know the SBK crew. They all get to kind of live it together, and it's a lot of fun. And if you're on social media and you're not too old to enjoy it, the Snapchat of those boys is always great after a W. So really good stuff there. Jesse, what were some of the surprises and disappointments for you over the PGA?
Lots of surprises, lots of disappointments. Number one surprise for me was Jordan Smith. I talked a little bit about him on the write-up, and then also I think I mentioned him on the pod last week. I can't remember. Anyway, he finished ninth. Our boy Louis Oosthuizen, of course, comes through with a top two.
We're not talking about him.
Molinari, another guy who we play quite often and completely faded, of course, this week. Top two. Delay, whatever you want to call him, with a great performance to top 10 as well. And then Stroud, too, I thought had one of the most amazing performances of the week, getting in basically in the last spot. And then he played terrible on Sunday, but still had a top 10, which is pretty amazing. And then disappointments, I'll just roll through them. For me, number one, Rory. Berger, probably number two. Xander, number three. And then Adam Scotty just didn't play very well at all week. He might have made the cut on the number. So what about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise for me, and not because he's not a good player, just I didn't think his game suited the course, was a guy Jesse mentioned, Molinari. not long off the tee, and honestly, not a very good putter. And so I didn't think that was a well, I know that's not a good combination for any golf course, but he was striping the driver, and he was making a lot of putts. So his putter definitely turned around, which is why he finished so high. But he was definitely one of the guys that I thought would make the cut, but middle around the 40th, 50th range, whatever. But he played really well, so hats off to him. Another guy that surprised, but he's in both my surprise and disappointment, is obviously Rory. I think he was by far the odds-on favorite. He was my number one play of the week. I really thought that he would have a solid chance to take it down this week, and I think he would have. He got himself into a couple bad spots, and then apparently he's nursing an injury now, and he might miss the entire playoffs. So either way, I mean, he still had a decent performance, but definitely not for a guy you paid up for.
Yeah, I'll kick it off with disappointment, just like you said. Rory, I was all over him as well, him and Adam Scott. Adam Scott, that was just unbelievable. I think the overall disappointment for me was when you're watching your DraftKings scores and these guys are, you know, having a great start to their rounds, and then they hit the green mile and boom, just everything disappears. So that was outstanding stuff. But on the positives, yeah, JT was great. You guys mentioned most of them. If you just want to go like a little deeper, a guy like Kuchar, he's on the top 10 again. It's just, yeah, he keeps doing it. It's just insane. He does it. He did this one so quietly. No one even really noticed him. I just pulled up the final rankings, finished tied for ninth. That's just ridiculous. Yeah. It was good to see Jason Day kind of put together a whole tournament. Like, maybe he is finding it again, because it's good to have him involved. And then, you know, there's other ones also, but we could talk all day about that. Our boy Mike's Grayson Murray, he was contending till Sunday, so that's always fun too.
Yeah.
Last but not least, the big talk going into the week was the Quail renovations and everything to get ready for this. We'll kick it off with you, Bucks. What were your overall thoughts on the course this week?
Yeah, I think it played exactly how we thought it was going to play. They obviously switched from a bent to Bermuda. They took out a ton of trees, so obviously looked different. The rough was thicker than normal. I mean, typically the score there is 13 under, something like that, and we kicked it off last week saying the winning score was going to be somewhere around 6 or something like that. So I think it played exactly how I imagined it was going to play, but it was obviously playing long. Rough was thick. But honestly, around the greens, I saw a ton of players, and this happens a lot with Bermuda, but a ton of players chunking chip shots and not really being able to gauge their distance control real well. But it was a beast. I mean, any time that you have the major or the cut line being around +5, something like that, is just insane. And then obviously the majority of players hovering, at least in contention, could be even par. I mean, Justin Thomas obviously killed it, but I mean, even par on Sunday morning had a shot. So it was awesome.
Yeah, when you look at it, it was crazy, because we all kind of – well, not we, but as a golfing audience, complained that the U.S. Open didn't play like a U.S. Open. Well, we got a U.S. Open in this. This was pretty freaking impressive. And like you said, the guys coming into Sunday around even had a chance, because a lot of those guys that finished near the top of the leaderboard weren't really there, and you weren't really thinking of them being there in the end. So it was pretty interesting to see. Jesse, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the course changes that they made. You know, lengthening one, and then also too, not making the rough overly difficult. I mean, in places it was really bad, but not around the whole entire golf course. Also too, I really liked how they set the golf course the first 2 days, and it kind of makes Kevin Kisner's golfing those 2 days even more impressive, because the greens were super hard and super fast. And so to go out there and shoot, you know, four under for the first 2 days, was pretty impressive. And then of course that rain moved in, softened things up, and it really wasn't the same golf course after they got that rain on Friday evening. So made it a little bit easier, and I think that did benefit Justin Thomas quite a bit. But one way or the other, you know, I'm a big fan of Quail. It reminds me probably more than any golf course, especially this week, of Augusta, just the way it looks on TV. And also, too, you know, one other thing is that I thought the fans did a great job as well. They weren't too awful, drunk, crazy, insane like you often see at a regular PGA Tour event. It was more of an Augusta type of feel as far as that goes as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's get into the DFS talk. And one thing I want to mention before I hand it to you, Bucks, was one of our listeners' questions last week. I got to at least give him a shout-out for this. At Hatchman41, one of the questions was, how many strokes does Justin win by? So that was pretty impressive that he threw that one out there, because we all pretty much laughed that one off.
We did. We said negative. We said it's going to be negative strokes because, you know.
He wasn't going to win. But, yeah. Bucks, you got some stats kind of overall how we did this week. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I don't think any of us lit the world on fire, but we made a lot of good calls. I know, in particular, myself, I think you did as well, Bubba. We called the missed cut by Sergio, so the majority of us avoided him. Matsuyama is a guy that I wasn't on, not because I didn't think he would perform well, but because I didn't think he stood a chance of winning. And he was obviously in contention, but fell hard at the end of the golf tournament. Jesse called the Peters miscut, so that was huge. Obviously, he was a guy a lot of people were on. And then also, I mean, Bubba calling, I mean, and it shouldn't be a shock to this group, but as far as course history goes, you called Phil Mickelson, and you called him not just missing the cut, but tanking it hard, which he did. So it was pretty good. I mean, we obviously called the Justin Thomas win. I mean, we said that we thought he could be in contention if he found that putter, which he did. He was super hot. So it was nice to kind of see that as well. The one guy or two guys on my end that I thought would perform well, one was Rory, super shocking, but maybe he might be hurt, so not too far out there. But the other guy that I was disappointed in, and Jesse kind of warned against him, but the guy that I really liked this week was Danny Lee. I had, out of my nine lineups I had 3 6 for 6, and then I had like 4 5 for 6, and all of those 5 for 6s had Danny Lee in there. So that was obviously a miss for me, but overall, I mean, I had a decent week. I had a lineup with JT, Rory, Tony Finau, Keegan, Casey, and Hoffman, which was a pretty good lineup this week, 400 points. So I stood a chance to be in contention. So overall, I thought we did really well this week. If I had to grade it, I'd say probably a B+. I think we could have had a couple different things go on to make it an A, but anytime that you're kind of on the winner, anytime you call a couple of those major miscuts like Sergio, when he's made whatever, how many straight, 1,000 straight cuts it seems like, I think that's great.
Yeah, and Captain Hindsight will always tell you that, you know, come Saturday afternoon going into Sunday, you picked all these guys. Don't forget about it. You know, even if it was back in January or February, you knew this was going to happen. So, yeah, you know, we look pretty good in hindsight here. Jesse, why don't you go over that Millie Maker lineup for us and let us know how it did, which was kind of surprising, things we talked about overall in the deal.
Yeah. excuse me. First of all, I don't know if you know or not, but the double bogey, I think Kisner double bogeyed the last hole, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a guy from second into first. So he's won $150,000. Kisner doubles. He wins $1 million because Kisner doubles. So that's A number one. So this guy's lineup didn't have Kisner in it. Guy in first did. He dropped, lost $850,000 because Kevin Kisner double bogey the hole.
It's brutal.
Which in itself is ridiculous. One way or the other, winning Millie Maker lineup was Patrick Cantlay at 6,900, 4.1% owned. He scored 63.5 DraftKings points. Graham DeLay in there, would probably be in the bottom 2 or 3% of the people that I would expect to be in a winning lineup, but he was because he played so well and he had that stretch on Saturday where he went like 1,000 under in three holes. $6,700, 0.5% owns, or 89 points. Brooks Koepka, you know, that's probably a pretty par for the course. Brooks makes a lot of birdies, a lot of bogeys. 25% owned, $9,200, 72 points. Hideki came in at 10-5, of course, 28% owned. He's one of the more chalky guys. But the problem if you didn't have Hideki this week is more than likely you were barely cashing or you had no shot at all at winning any big-time money because Hideki scored 92.5 points. Patrick Reed, who was nowhere near my radar but played very well and brought himself into contention late Sunday. He scored 88 points at 5%, 5.7% owned, $7,300. And then, of course, Justin Thomas, which rightfully should be on the Millie Maker team, but would not have been on the Millie Maker team if Kisner didn't double the last hole. $8,900, 10% owned, scored 104 DraftKings points. So, Cantlay, DeLay, Koepka, Hideki, Reed, Justin Thomas is your winning Millie Maker lineup. But how salty would you be if you had Kisner double the last hole and you lost 850 grand?
It'd be very hard not to tweet him. It'd be really, and I'm against that. I hate when people tweet athletes about their performance. Like, no crap. Like, I get it. I didn't mean to double bogey, but I would be. I would have to probably repair something in my house.
I would probably not have a TV. That's for sure. I did see where somebody was trolling Kisner over $600 earlier today, and all I could think of was like $600. Come on, man! Like, and he was like trying to. He was like just keen trolling him. Like, would not give up about his angle that he basically was saying Kisner was a loser with no, I don't know, drive. I don't know what he was saying. One way or the other, is a complete idiot. But yeah, I mean, losing 850 grand over that double, man.
Be out.
But I mean, you know, that's getting back to the, you know, trash that payout structure is on the Millie Maker. I mean, a million or 150,000. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's garbage. You know?
Hey, you should have made at least 500K or something. Like, give me, like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it should be. That's right. And that's a little bit more.
That's why.
Stomachable.
That's why I haven't played a Millie Maker. I haven't played a Millie Maker all year. I won't play him. I'll play the third. I'll play the other tournaments or something. Single entry. I'll go play the 333. I'll pay up for that.
Yeah.
Instead of play the.
For sure. Yeah.
But I know it's not in everybody's budget. I get it. But just winning wise, what all that good stuff, it makes way more sense. So we'll put that in the past. It was a great tournament, great major. It's said and done with. And we move on to the Wyndham Championship. It is in Greensboro, North Carolina. Used to be early in the year. Now it's late in the year. Used to be the Diamond Classic, all that good stuff. It's the last event before the FedEx Cup playoffs begin. And it's a scoring course, as you pointed out, Bucks. 16 under or better in every round since 2001 except one. So, Bucks, why don't you give us a little event history and course preview?
Yes, like you said, a bunch of scoring goes on here. They moved it back to Sedge Field in 2008. They did a $3 million renovation of the course, lengthened it out a little bit, tightened some things up. And then in 2012, they moved from a bent grass to Bermuda. If that doesn't sound familiar, quail. But they've had some years. It's not nearly as firm. But it's a Donald Ross course, 7,100 yards, par 70. They do have generous fairways, but here's the key this week. Being a Donald Ross and being a fairly short course, they didn't do too much to the greens when they did the renovation. So very small greens and incredibly undulating greens. And so this course, they on average, I think the last 2 years, they've been averaging around 73% GIR. Which is astronomically high. I mean, astronomically, which is even crazier considering how small the greens are. But with that being said, they're so small and so undulating that, I mean, the scores, even as low as they are, typically you hit that many greens, you're going to see some even lower numbers. So I think it's a really interesting course. They have 8 par fours under 450 yards. So you can definitely get at it. The final 3 par fours, though, for some reason, are all over 500 yards. I don't know if they're trying to mimic the Green Mile down the road, but the final three par fours are the only par fours over kind of that 460 mark, and they're all over 500. The par threes are also interesting. You got two that are 170 yards, 175 yards, and then you have two that are over 225 yards. So it should be a really fun week. It's a fun golf course. I love these style of golf courses, really undulating fairways, undulating greens, a lot of elevation changes. So even though it is 7,100 yards, you have some holes that play a lot longer, some holes play a lot shorter. But like I said, you got a bunch of scoring going on, a lot of birdies to be made. And honestly, both par fives are under 560 yards, so a lot of eagles to be had as well.
So you're saying we don't need to bomb it out. That's good. Jesse, do you have any weather and key stats we're looking at this week?
Yeah, I've looked at the weather a little bit. It looks like there's a chance of rain, but it wasn't that great on Thursday and Friday. So we'll just have to keep an eye on that as it gets closer to Wednesday evening to see if there is any kind of potential for a delay and maybe some softer conditions. But, you know, a lot of rain has been coming down in North Carolina in recent weeks, so it's not going to be overly dry one way or the other. And I don't think the wind is going to be an issue, so I'm not super worried about it at this point, but, you know, I'll keep an eye on it. Just kind of echo what Buck just said, greens and regulation, big time on that this week. Also be looking at birdie or better quite a bit. Shots gained tee to green, shots gained approach. I think those are all things to check out and to keep an eye on, as well as proximity, because like you said, the greens are small, so you gotta hit it decently close in order to have a putt.
Yeah, with as many players that are hitting these greens on a regular basis, it puts proximity even more important, just because you're going to have a ton of people hitting these greens, so the people that can get it closer, especially on greens that are this undulating, the closer you are, the much better shot you have at making some putts. So proximity is a really big one for me, and obviously birdie or better.
All right, let's get into what people want to hear on the podcast. Let's get into the picks. We'll kick it off with the top 10K and above guys. You got Stenson, Kisner, Duffner, Haas, and Simpson. Jesse, kick us off in the 10K and above.
Yeah, I mean, interesting region because, you know, you have a guy like Henrik Stenson who hasn't played very well in recent weeks by his standards, that is. For a normal PGA Tour player, he's, you know, played great. He's had a 13th, a 17th, 11th, 26th, and a 10th in his last five events or whatever. So that's pretty good for your normal PGA Tour player. For Henrik Stenson, that's not actually that good, especially if you're trying to pay off an $11,500 price tag here. So, but he's interesting to me because he does end up being at the top of my model, of course. You know, never fails. The guy that I don't really want to play is up there. So I'll see as the week goes on if he's being touted. You know, if he's going to be a popular play, I'm probably not going to play a whole lot of him. But if he's not, then I'll consider him more because I don't think he will miss the cut. I think he'll be a pretty standard cut maker. So especially for cash, I think he's a good play. I don't like Kisner. I'd say he's probably pretty well burnt out. Duffner is very interesting to me because he does have a really, really good tee to green game and stripes his irons. Bill Haas, another guy that I will have a little piece of, and I just can't ever do Webb.
What about you, Bucks?
I think we disagree here a little bit. I do like Stenson this week, but I think you can pay up for him this week with so many options down below, but I'm not going to. I think it all depends on what you're going to play, GPP cash and what dollar amount. But for me this week in this range, there's a few guys that I really like. Webb is, I know, Jesse, you're not a fan of him, but Webb is kind of, as far as a stat perspective, off the charts for me.
He has really good course history too.
Yeah, yeah. He has great course history. He's Let's see, he's third in bogey avoidance, fifth in birdies, seventh in proximity. And that's all using courses, his last 50 rounds on a Bermuda-type course. So I'm going to be using a lot of Webb this week. And then I'll sprinkle in Haas. I think he is a good play. I don't think he's been playing great. But another guy that is fairly steady. Hits a lot of fairways, hits a lot of greens, avoids bogeys. And then the last guy who I don't know why I'm going to do it to myself, but I am back on the Duffner train this week. And so we'll see how that goes. Last time I did that, it failed miserably, but I do think he has a good shot this week. He has quite a few good stats, but he's more of that guy that kind of passes the eye test for me. His stats aren't off the charts, but I feel like he's been playing well in a field like this. I think he has a good shot to win another one.
Yeah, we're going to agree a lot on this one, I think. I am actually going to go with a more balanced approach this week than kind of a top-heavy, so it'll probably steer me off the $11,000 guys. I think Kisner can be an interesting play just for the fact I agree with your narrative, Jesse. I really don't want to use him because I think he's burned out, but I have a feeling that's going to be a narrative all over the place. So it might lead to some super low ownership there. That's something to keep an eye on as the week goes on. But my main guy here, and it's a guy I never, ever want to touch, is Webb Simpson. His history at this course, his stats, like all pop, as you guys already said, what I was looking at as you guys were talking, it's crazy how well he has been playing here, and even of late, he's been making cuts and finishing rather well. So recent form is just really good for Webb Simpson, which all that whole thing just hurt to say. But then Bill Haas, I'll sprinkle him, and then I am on the Duff train with you, Bucks. I haven't joined you yet, but now I will. So hopefully with both of us on there, we can power him through. Because when he is on, he can definitely take a course like this and make it his little friend. So I do like what he brings to the table here. Let's get to the $9,000 range. We got Ryan Moore, Keegan Bradley, Kyle Stanley is back, Bud Cauley, Grayson Murray, James Hahn. If you guys are wondering about these prices, it's because the field is, yeah. So Bucks, take us away.
Yeah, I mean, this, we've said this, I think, 3 or 4 weeks in a row, but this range sucks. You got, what, 5 or 6 golfers here. And honestly, outside of maybe Keegan Bradley, I'm going to be avoiding everybody here, especially Mike's boy, Grayson Murray. Grayson Murray makes a ton of bogeys. And not saying he can't go super low because he can, but if he makes bogeys the way that he typically does, I don't think he stands a shot to be 20 under at the end of the week. So I think for a course that you got to be 17, 18, 19, 20 under, I'm not taking any guy that kind of just freewheels it with the bogeys. So this range I'm pretty much altogether avoiding anyway, so you guys can have it.
What do you got, Jesse?
Yeah, one of my favorite plays this week is in this range. It's Bud Cauley at $9,200. Coming off a 10th year last year. Dude has just kind of got the do factor going on, I think. He's kind of in that same class with Ricky and JT and all them as far as age group-wise, and he's yet to break through with a big win on tour. So I think this could be a great spot for him, and so I might be 100% Bud Cauley this week, which could be better or good. But Kyle Stanley's the other guy. Kyle Stanley's the other guy who I've used in this region, 14th last year. He's just kind of sketch as far as his putter goes. But if his putter gets hot, like you know, our boy Justin Thomas last week, then nobody has a better tee to green game in this field more than likely than Kyle Stanley. So if he can roll some putts in, I really like his chances to win. So I'll be heavy Bud and Kyle. I probably won't Keegan, maybe a little bit of Ryan Moore, not very much. I will not Grayson. And I think James Hahn is just overpriced. So I can't really pull the trigger on him here.
For sure. Here's the one thing I'll say about Stanley. Because I can get behind Buddy, passes that eye test for me. Not from a stat perspective, but definitely been playing a lot better. Stanley is one of those guys that I always like taking because he makes a ton of cuts. But as far as Bermuda courses, he is 150th in putting strokes gained, and he is 111th in birdies.
That's pretty weak.
Just an FYI.
But he's, I feel you. But you just, like, with these professionals, like, literally, I understand most of them, if you're not very good on Bermuda, but they can turn it on at any time. So,
oh, for sure. Yeah.
With tout percentage, too. I like Bud Colley one way or the other. I'll be all over him. I don't care if he's the most highly touted golfer on Fanshare, but I can see the Kyle Stanley fade because he is one of the more popular guys, generally speaking. And I also think, too, that going back to a more balanced lineup is going to be more successful this week. And I wish I would have done it last week.
Yeah.
And we'll kick it over to you with that being said there, Bubba.
Yeah, and the reason why I wanted to bring up the balanced lineup is we talk in our little chats a lot, and that's been like the approach for the last month and a half. If we just would be balanced, we'd be making a lot of money. Yeah, it's just the way it's been going. And the Kyle Stanley thing, we were all over him for like a month or two. If you look at just recent form alone, his last four events, two missed cuts, two, like, was it 50s or below, at that price tag, you can't have that. You just can't. Right. So that's another reason why, even if he makes the cut, I just don't know where he's going to finish. I'll be on Keegan Bradley at 9,500. It's just consistently producing top finishes, at least majority of the time, at least making the cut at worst. And then I can get behind your Bud Colley stance, but the guy I like, which is funny, is I am all over James Hahn. He was a guy I was all over last week in the low range. I know he's priced up, but a lot of these guys we're going to look at are priced up today. Even the guys in the $8,000 will be priced up. I know it's not $9,000, but there's a lot of priced up guys. It's just the way the field works these days. But you look at James Hahn, we're talking top 20 finishes in four of his last six events. He's made the cut in all six of those events. He's striking it really, really well. He's scoring. He has a very good birdie or better percentage, which is the key stat I am focused on the most because we want scoring, obviously, on this course. So a guy like James Hahn at 9,000, I know it's pricey, and hopefully people think that because I will definitely have a fair share of James Hahn. Moving down to the $8,000 range, we got Ben Martin, your boy Danny Lee, Chris Stroud, who I think he might be burned out too. Shane Lowry, got Glover, Streelman, Brown, Reavy, Saunders, Power, English. There's some good names in here. Jesse, kick us off.
Yeah, I mean, with Chris Stroud, there's no way coming off that four-day grind he just had. And he won the week before, so he was out in Nevada. Then he flew back to North Carolina. So at some point, some fatigue has to set in here, especially with the adrenaline I'm sure he had going on Sunday. I can only imagine being last group on a Sunday in a major for the first time. I'm sure it was pretty adrenaline packed. So, yeah, I won't have any of him at all whatsoever. But other guys in this range that I will use, Lucas Glover, he's probably, like, especially in this $8,000 range or anything below $9,000, he's my second probably favorite play. Generally speaking, he makes the cut. He doesn't wow you with his play. He doesn't make but he's just consistent. So, it could be a good week for him. It may not, but I mean, he sits second in my model. So I'm sitting there going again, how do I fade the top two guys in my model? So one there, but other guys in this region that I'll have some I've been on. He really surprised me last week. He played really, really well. Finished 28th. It could have been better with a better weekend. But he's not been playing as well as he did earlier on in the season, or at least a month or two ago, back in June, May-ish, he was playing better golf. But maybe he's turned it around, figured something out there. I think Streelman is interesting at $8,300. He has good course history. He's never missed a cut here in the four times he's been here. He hasn't been here since 2012, but has not missed a cut. And he's also got about six in a row on tour. And then Ches Reavy, he's missed three straight cuts at this tournament, which is kind of sketch, but he's been playing really solid golf for the last couple months on tour. So I'll have some Ches as well.
What do you got, Bucks?
Yeah, so I think this range is really nice. A lot of fair-priced golfers. I'm on a couple of the guys Jesse's on. Glover, I really like this week. Again, just he's really good tee to green. Not great with the flat stick, but if he can get the ball fairly close to the hole, he's got a shot. And then I do like Benny on this week as well. The one other guy that I'll mention in this 8K range that I personally really like, he's been playing well and his stats are pretty good. He's 13th in bogey avoidance, first in birdies, fifth in shots gained tee to green, and he's in the top 75 in proximity, 125 to 150 is Harris English. So he's a guy that passes kind of the eye test for me. And then once I saw his stats, I'll probably have him in, I don't know, 50% of my lineups or so this week. So at that price, the way he's playing, I really like it.
Interesting. The guys I'm looking at, I'm all over Lucas Glover with you, Jesse. His approach to the green is one of the top, 52 on this list, 26 tee to green, 53 birdie or better for 8,400. I thought he was 83. No, 84 looks really, really good. Streelman's the 83. I like Streelman. It's a guy I like to play a lot. He's always low owned, and he's been his recent form is very good. And the cut maker thing, that goes back to my balanced lineup approach. Just get through and then let the weekend determine it for you. You never know what the heck's going to happen out here. The Chesticle, I am going to be all over this guy. His recent form has been very, very impressive to me. He's that guy, like, if you remember him last year, he goes on those runs, and you want to ride him when he's on those runs because otherwise it's an implosion that you want to stay far, far away from. So while he's playing well, I'll be all over him. And the guy I thought you were talking about, he's 8,100. Or no, he's 8,000. But I am in love with I'm going to probably butch this. I always do it wrong. Seamus Power. This kid is bringing it. He's a scorer. Tee to green's good. His putting's actually not horrible, especially for this field, because we don't have a lot of the big boys here. He's one of the better putters. If you look at his recent form especially,
I will mention that our boy Phil, who called JT last week, he is all over Seamus Power this week. So
now I feel even
better. For what it's worth.
That's what I'm talking about. So those are the guys I'm looking at. See, if last week I had like 30 names, I'm not going to have that many this week. So it'll help out a little bit. But Glover, Streelman, Reavy, and Power will be the four I'm going at. This 8K range is very solid. You could make a really good core out of this 8 and then the 7K, which we'll get to coming up. 7K, you got Hadley, Campbell, Laird, your boy Tway, Jesse, Horschel, Streb, Knox, Ollie, Pan, Lahiri, Flores, and the list goes on and on. Bucks, who you got?
Yeah, I love this range. I mean, this will be kind of my sweet spot. I'll probably have a two guys in the 10K range, and then middle a bunch down here. I'll name a few guys that I really like this week. I'm always on this guy, at least the last few weeks, it seems like, and he's been playing great. That's Sabatini. He's second in birdies made. He does make a ton of bogeys, but if he can kind of keep it in play and avoid that this week, I think he's got a really good shot at winning. That's right, winning. I really like him this week. Another guy that I love, he's been playing really well too, if you look at what he's been doing, is Blaine Barber. He is 15th in birdies, and then he's in the top 50 or so in every other key stat that I'm looking at. So Blaine Barber, Sabatini, those are two that I really like. And then another guy that I like typically, he just scares me for some reason. It's like one of those gut calls. But the old Dirt McGirt, he is number one in proximity, 125 to 150. And then he's in the top 30 in every other key stat that I'm looking at. So I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger on him in more than maybe one lineup, but he looks good. And then my last guy, and this is a guy I think will be super low owned, but I like him this week. I think it's more he fits this type of course. He's been playing terrible, but Luke Donald, he is second in bogey avoidance, second in proximity, third in putting, and then top 50 in tee to green and birdies. So I'm going to have a few lineups with Luke Donald in there. 7,000, and he's a guy that's been in contention a bunch in his life, and so he just needs to be comfortable 1 week to really make a run at it.
I can dig that. What do you got, Jesse?
Yeah, I'll piggyback on a couple of those. I do like Luke Donald as well. He's finished second here last year and 26th the year before. I'm usually not a Luke Donald guy just because he's so sketch, and his recent form is very sketch, but he could be one of those guys who at $7,000, because of his recent form, gets overlooked. And he tends to perform at certain golf courses. He just loves certain golf courses, and he just does well at them. So there's a good chance you could see him less than 5% owned at, you know, in the GPP. So potentially could be a high upside GPP play there at $7,000. The McGirt call, I'll just say that's very edgy. So I don't really know about that, but it's right there out on the fringes. We'll see. He's sketch as well. But one way or the other. So, guys, I'm on this week. I'm just kind of going down. I think Chad Campbell's interesting at $7,900. He's got okay course history. He did finish fourth here in 2012, but coming off a 32nd Canadian, 12th at the John Deere Classic, and 9th at the Greenbrier. So, decent recent form as well, and for $7,900, not bad. One guy who was mentioned in a tweet to us is Chesson Hadley, and he's interesting because he will at $7,900. He should be less than 1% owned. Like, you should not own Chesson Hadley at $7,900, which makes him an interesting GPP play. Because he did have a 25th at John Deere, and he has some okay finishes. He's been playing mostly on the web.com tour. So he's a local guy, though. You know, his chances, the user question or the tweet that we got was chances to top 10, and I'll say less than 1%, exactly what he should be on, less than 1% chance to top 10. But it's there, so if you wanted to use $7,900 on him, you know, for a low-owned, super low-owned GPP play, it'd be him. Kevin Tway, to me, man, I hate to jump off of him, but he's not really been playing quote-unquote great recently, so he's kind of sketched to me, and he missed the cut in his only appearance here in 2014. And I was reading somewhere else today, somebody said that his stats aren't that great on Bermuda as well. So he's another like guy who I love to play, but I'll just probably end up burning some money on this week. Robert Streb is one of my favorite plays this week. He surprised me last week with a 22nd at the PGA Championship. And so I'll have quite a bit of Streb at $7,700. I think that's a super low price there on him. And then another guy that I was looking at earlier is Graham McDowell. He finished fifth here last year in his only appearance. And it's another guy coming off a bunch of missed cuts, so could be low owned. Another guy who just kind of plays well at certain golf courses, so this could be one for him. So I'll be checking him out as well. And then there's a bunch in this region. I'll talk some more about it in the write-up tomorrow. Brandon Hagee is one more. I'll just throw that name out there. I think he's got some high upside at 7,400. Bubba?
All right. You guys covered pretty much everyone. No, I was kidding. it is a loaded area. You guys were both right on this one. You could definitely put like three guys here, grab an 8 and a 10 and figure out what you have left if you really wanted to. Chad Campbell, that's a guy I was on a couple weeks ago, and I really like his recent form. He's not the big scorer, but his tee to green and his approach is very, very solid right now for that price range. A guy that is interesting, and I know I'm a blabbering fool at times, but I've always said I'm a recent form guy. If you look at Martin Flores at $7,600, no one's going to know who this guy is, but he's got a T11, T19, T18 his last three events, and then even a T64, T50, T55. He's made six straight cuts, and his last three are top 20s. That is a GPP play to me that I think could be really, really interesting for him. And then, you know, Hagee I like, Barber I like. You guys talked about them. A guy I'm on a lot, but he's been really inconsistent right now, so I'm not sure if I will be, is Nick Watney, because he does have that ability to go low from time to time and contend in the end. But the only other guys I'll mention here that you didn't mention is Daniel Summerhays. I really, really like what he can bring to this tournament. And our boy, Ricky Barnes, everyone laughs every time I pick him, and all he does is make cuts right now. So Ricky Barnes will be on my list. So mainly Campbell, Flores, Hagee Barber, Summerhays, and Barnes for me.
Summerhays I like.
Yeah, that's a guy I play a lot. Him and Streelman. That's why I was surprised Streelman and him's prices were so different, because usually on a regular field, they're right next to each other, and you could punt with both of them and load up, and they perform. I am not going to read the long list of 6K guys, so Bucks, take us away.
Yeah, I don't think you need to read the list, because honestly, you shouldn't really venture down this far. Honestly, there's not too many options down here that I would bother playing with. When you have so many guys at the lower end of the 7K range that are nice. A few guys, though, that if I were to dip down here, which I may or may not, Vajegas, he plays well here. He seems to play really well on Bermuda, maybe because he's a Florida guy. But he's top 10 in birdies, top 10 in par 5 scoring, and he's in the top 20 or top 25 in tee to green and putting on Bermuda. So stats fit the model. He's a risky play in my opinion, but I mean, for 6,900 in a field like this, why not? And then the only other guy down here that I thought was interesting, because he does show up in certain tournaments, certain events, and his stats are pretty good, is KJ Choi. I think he has a really solid shot at making the cut. He avoids bogeys, makes some birdies. His proximity is really good. So, again, I'm not personally dipping down here, but if you were to really play a Stars and Scrubs this week, two guys I would take a peek at are Vajegas and KJ Choi.
What about you, Jesse?
I really am not a fan of this region at all whatsoever. I'll have some Trey Mullinax because I just can't quit him. So, I mean, he burnt me at the Canadian Open pretty bad, but I'll probably go back this week just in case he catches hot fire. Another guy is interesting down here, and I was looking at this earlier, and another less than 1%, or at least he should be less than 1% he plays, is Brett Stegmaier. Couple missed cuts in a row after making three straight cuts, but he did finish fifth here last year. So it makes him interesting to me because I do believe a lot of times that there's an angle to guys like certain golf courses, like, you know, Ricky and Rory used to like Quail Hollow before they changed it, that kind of thing. They were talking about that last week, you know, just something that fits the eye, and that happens with some of these guys. So I'll take a chance with a guy who finished fifth last week. Not very much. I mean, on the very outskirts of some GPP lineups, but just to free up some space. But I'm with you guys on not getting way down in here. I'm really going to concentrate on going back to more balanced lineup and getting back to the whole 6 out of 6. The last few weeks have been rough where I've been trying to hit the winner with some of these big names, and it just hasn't worked out.
I have four names if you feel like punting stuff, but I'd rather not use them, and I'm just going to name them and not go deep. I'm on Mullinax with you just because I'm with you. I can't quit him. But guys have been playing well of late and can score. Guys like Ben Crane, the always tilting JT Poston, and the one that a little birdie has talked about, Tag Ridings, has been playing really, really well of late, and he's got a birdie or better, and he's ranked 35th in this. So that is intriguing at that angle, but I hope you don't need to use these guys, but those are guys I would definitely be looking at if you choose to do so. All right, what is your top punt play, Jesse? It can be in the 7K for all we care, since we know you don't like to go below 7 usually.
Yeah, you know, for me this week, I'll probably have more than anybody. Let me see here. As far as lower owned, I mean, I'll probably be on Trey Mullinax again, so he's just my punt play as far as all that goes. I just can't quit him.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I would say punt plays, if I were to get down here, Vajegas. I do like Dahman. I'm not sure you consider him a punt play, but and then another guy I think that'll be under 4% owned, hopefully, is Luke Donald.
I like it.
If we're not going below 7, my top punt would probably be Summerhays. That's who I'll be looking at if we're not going below 7. If we're going below 7, I'm going to look more into him, but Tag has me very intrigued on this one. Let's look at your top bust play, which, yes, who's busting for you, Bucks?
Oh, this is tough, man. I think this event with the quality of field, I think the majority of those top-owned guys have a really good chance to make the cut and do something. But if I were to pick two guys that I just, for some reason, cannot get behind this week, I would pick Stanley, Bud Colley, and then Ryan Moore. Just those three guys I can't get behind. I'm sorry.
Oh, one of Jesse's boys. Jesse, who do you got?
What a shot. And just kicked me right in the second, man. I think Webb is the bust of the week. I also got Kisner. I mean, because Kisner at that price, he's got to probably top 10. I can see him making the cut, but it's hard for me to see him really competing for another 4 straight days. So Kisner probably number one. And then Webb. I think Webb will be overowned too. So that's me.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong, but you're probably right. I'm going to go on a big limb for, just because with the quality of this field, we've seen how he loses focus sometimes. I think Henrik Stenson could be really interesting because you have to pay a high price tag. I don't think he meets that at all, and he might even miss the cut. Like, I just have a weird feeling about Henrik this week. Stanley, I agree with. And then the other one I go with is Chris Stroud. I think he is just shot right now. Yeah. And that's one to stay away from, people. Don't look at that's one recent form stay away from, please. With that being said, gentlemen, start with you, Jesse. What are your core players this week?
Bud Colley, Streb. It'll be kind of tough, but I do like Chez Reavie quite a bit too. So I'll probably be, as far as like the core of those three, and then throw in some of these other guys around them.
What about you, Bucks?
Outside of Webb, my core is going to definitely consist of Sabatini and Duffner, and then likely Luke Donald as well.
Nice. My core is going to be James Hahn, Streelman, and Reavie. And I'll sprinkle my other guys around that, like Power and then the 7K guys. But that's where I'll be going. I think that'll help me stay really balanced in that area. Bucks, pick to win.
I'll, outside of the top tier guys, I would say Sabatini.
I like the balls on that. Jesse.
Bud Colley. He's my dude. Like I said, I'll be 100% on him, so he probably misses the cut.
I hope you are right, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, reaching back, he might miss the cut.
Nah, positive thoughts on the Always Pressing Pod. I'm going to go with James Hahn. That's who I'm going with. Not great history at this course. He hasn't played it that much either. But I'm going James Hahn. I really like what I've seen there. If you want a down below pick, give me Summerhays. I like what he's got going on. Last but not least, Jesse, did we have any listener questions? You mentioned
one. I had a few. I think one there, and I'll let you guys chime in on it if you want to. Is the Chess and Hadley chances to win or top 10?
I got nothing on this one. That kid is something else. He's literally all or nothing. He's the definition of all or nothing. Lux, what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally not on him, and I'm looking at him in my model, which is all based on Bermuda, but he's 150th in bogey avoidance, 150th in par five scoring, 100th in tee to green, and 100th in putting. The only thing he seems to do well, which is good for this course, is make birdies and stuff the ball in pretty close inside the 125 to 150 range. So I'm not a big fan of him this week. And if you were to give me some odds on that top 10 or missing the top 10, I'd definitely take it.
Yeah, and those last stats you gave out, though, that's why I could see where this person's coming from, because he has shown like signs of going nuts. But man, when he starts going south, it's like Grayson Murray was before he learned how to make a cut. It was brutal. So
he can get on a pretty wicked bogey train.
Yeah, exactly. What else, Jesse?
The only other one was, will Dickie Pry the top 10 this week?
No. I'll just keep that simple. Does anybody disagree with me?
I could see it.
I mean, the guy shows up on these type of events where the field's pretty weak and you don't need to bomb it. He doesn't make a ton of bogeys, which is crazy, but if I had to bet it, obviously I'm not betting inside top 10, but I could definitely see him making a cut.
He finished 30-30 or last year. Yeah, two missed cuts in a row after a 69th, 29th, 33rd. I mean, he hasn't had a – I don't know when the last time he topped 10. Yeah. Maybe 10 years ago. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, that pretty much wraps up what we have. Any last words, Jesse, Bucks?
Yeah, I think the one thing I didn't mention in the course recap or course history, we have a buddy of ours that is down in that area, and he was talking to us earlier, and I'm not sure how I would take this, but he was saying that those greens are pretty beat up. They have got a case of I think it's called the nematodes, which can cause some really bumpy greens, some grass to grow in patches, and so I think we could get some erratic putting this week. And so maybe the scoring won't be as low as we've seen it, but that's just some interesting information that we got down from a local boy.
Yeah. Which really makes me not want to play a whole lot of money this week, because it's going to be if it's like a luck putting fest, as it'd be the worst.
Well, yeah, I mean that's why I'm not too heavy in my stat model on putting, because I think it's like you guys have played golf, obviously playing golf on aerated greens. It's just a hit and hope type right. situation, and I think yeah. it brings a lot of people that are mediocre putters into play.
Right. And well, something to go off what you said, Jesse, is this is a week, people, to maybe tone it down. Because the way the field is, a guy in the 6K, if he won, it wouldn't shock me. Especially against the 7K. The field's so open.
And if you're trying to manage your bankroll and you are not real happy with the guys in this field this week, take a week off, man. Next week is playoffs. So I think you're going to have some really big contests the next few weeks with some really loaded fields. So unless you're feeling really good about a core group of guys, stay away this week. It's fine.
Yep, exactly.
That's one of the most least degen statements I've ever heard you say. I do agree with there are better tournaments coming up in the next 4 weeks. So go light this week. Just maybe chill a little bit and wait for the next 4 weeks. There should be a lot of good golf the next 4 weeks, a lot of big names, blah, blah, blah. This week is more of a kind of a crapshoot. The other angle to consider here, too, and I've seen it quite a bit on Twitter, is the guys who are just outside the top 125. This is the last event to qualify for the FedEx Cup playoffs, top 125, get in there. So potentially there's an angle there, but, you know, I'm of the belief that if you're not going out and trying to win every week, why are you even there? You know, I mean, I don't know how much that really matters, but it is an angle to consider.
It's a very true angle. And again, we are a bunch of degens, so by no means are we condoning playing zero, but if you feel like it, we understand. This was just your public service announcement from Always Pressing. We just wanted to let you know that.
Chill out a little bit. Just chill.
But we're saying just like don't go $1,000, maybe go $250 or something. Yeah, it was right. No, but Bucks just he knows no limits, so he just goes crazy.
Facts.
With that, with that being said, guys, thanks again. You can find Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. You can find Bucks at Big Bucks No Whammy or BP Snow 11. I always screw that up, Bucks. I'm sorry. I'm on Twitter at BDintric and follow the podcast at Always Press DFS. But thanks for listening, guys. This was the Wyndham Championship preview. We'll check you guys next time.